Years ago, I was director of a wilderness camp over in Indiana, and I had the responsibility of finding some property where we could take some young men and work through this wilderness camp of a week of wilderness camping. And I had an individual that was showing me the property that we were looking at, and get that under control here. Excuse me. A little bit of indigestion, I guess. But as we were walking along, this individual said, "Oh, hey, there's a deer run." I said, "A deer run?" He says, "Yeah, that's a, I'm like, what's a deer run?" He says, "Well, that's a path that deer use to travel from their bedding area to their feeding areas or wherever they go." Really? And he says, "Yeah, well, you know, these are the kinds of things you learn when you hunt for deer." And, you know, my idea of deer hunting was Elmer Fudd, you know, was walking through the woods, you know, just looking for whatever I could find to shoot. And I tell you what, he started explaining to me about deer runs and deer habits and their rubs and scrapes. Now, what's a rub? He says, "Well, that's when they take their antlers and they rub on trees and they put marks down and they kind of define their territory. And then scrapes are when they scrape in the ground and they mark their territory and so on. And they know where everybody is and they know all the deer in the woods and everything." And I'm like, "Whoa." I said, "This is fascinating." And that's what it took to suck me into deer hunting. I'm like, I am just like fascinated by this. And I started reading magazines and articles and buying hunting equipment. And I was just like all in on hunting because it fascinated me. I don't know if you've had anything like that happen in anything in your life. There's something that catches your attention and then like you're like, "Whoa, I'm all in on this." Another area that kind of caught my attention in my walk with the Lord is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And growing up in the church, you hear about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's, you know, yeah, that's just kind of a fact. Kind of like deer hunting. I knew all, people hunt deer, you know. But then you start hearing of some intricacies of that, and it, like, whoa. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is one of those things that fascinated me. And I'm going to get into more detail on how that came about next week and the importance of studying what brought me into the study of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you this morning, as we talk about this whole matter of discipleship, meaningful discipleship, living as the church, building blocks of discipleship, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a building, an essential building block to our discipleship. As we grow in our faith, we need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then as we pass that on to others, we need to help them understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's a lot of confusion out there. I mean, there are churches that are built on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and just an extreme focus on the Holy Spirit. And we kind of go, "Well, what's that all about? Is it really that important?" Yes, it is important to understand, have a right understanding, have a biblical understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It does impact our hearts. It impacts our lives. It's a matter of discipleship and growing in that understanding. Pastor Nate did an awesome job of helping us in the last couple of weeks, introducing us to the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago, and the role and ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Maybe you didn't realize the Holy Spirit was involved at creation. He moved upon the face of the waters. He was involved in creation. In the Old Testament, he came upon individuals to help them accomplish certain tasks for particular purposes. And then last week, he really helped us as he got into John chapter 16 about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in convicting the world and you and me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We need to know what that's all about. And that's a role of the Holy Spirit. And our response to that then is that we are, excuse me, we understand, he helped us understand that the the role of the Holy Spirit helps us in guidance. And again, thank you for pointing us to the guidance of the Holy Spirit accomplished through the Word. That was happening when Jesus said, told the disciples in John chapter 16 that he would guide them into all truth. He was doing that when he was writing this down. He was guiding us into truth through the Word of God. And so when we talk about guidance, a lot of misunderstanding about guidance in relationship to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, you know, I need God to show me what I want to do or need to do. And it becomes very mystical. But thank you, Pastor Nate, for helping us understand. We go back to the Word to understand the principles of the Word in order to make wise decisions. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, guiding us, bringing to our hearts the biblical truths and principles and guiding us through our lives. So there's the guidance. There's the whole matter of hope, to give us hope. And to exalt Jesus. We're going to talk a little bit about that more today. And then your response to all of that. So I say that to say thank you, Pastor Nate, for introducing us to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I hope it's caused you to go, yeah, I need to know this. Wow. And I hope it pulls you in to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how he works. I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Now this is a passage that, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you got to talk about this passage. Sometimes it's almost like those who talk about the Holy Spirit that they make this passage all about the Holy Spirit. Let's do some clarification here. Your take-home thought this morning, if you're taking notes, take-home thought this morning is the Holy Spirit enables the church to mature and effectively glorify God. The Holy Spirit enables the church to mature. It helps you and me to grow and to bring glory to God. Ministry of the Holy Spirit. Without the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we could not, would not grow in the way that God would have us to grow. We are blessed to have the Holy Spirit of God with us and in us. And so our focus today is on the Holy Spirit and his work in the church, which involves each one of our lives as believers. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together, speaking of the disciples, in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were eating or where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When you think about Jesus and his inauguration into ministry, we think of his baptism. And when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. And they heard the Father say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was the inauguration of Jesus. Here you have what I would call the inauguration of the ministry of the Holy Spirit for the church. The Holy Spirit came upon the believers. This is an unduplicatable event. All right? This happened to the church at this particular time. In this particular way, all right? And there are people who are, even today, are looking for flaming tongues of fire to come upon them and to have mighty rushing winds take place when this is an unduplicatable event. This took place for the disciples, which I would say was the beginning of the establishment of the church and inauguration of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is an indication here. So as we look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it's an essential building block to understand this, because there is so much confusion. We think of in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel chapter 36, God said that I will put in you give you a new heart, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone, a heart that is supple and compliant that I can work with. How was he going to accomplish this? And I submit that it's by the arrival of the Holy Spirit to come upon the church and the individuals in the church. And we have that fulfillment here in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this arrival marks the establishment of the church. Let's jump down to verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And here's what Joel says in Joel chapter 2. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Now, this was fulfilled in part in Acts chapter 2. It's not fully complete. It will happen. The signs and wonders in the heavens and all, that is yet to come. But in part, it was fulfilled as the Holy Spirit came upon them. "Men of Israel," verse 22, "hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Here we have the arrival of the Holy Spirit, the establishment of the church. And as a result, as we read there in verses 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit indwells all believers today. The Holy Spirit of God indwells all believers today. We need to talk about that for just a little bit. We witnessed in verses 1 through 4 the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that, I said that was an unduplicatable event in what was witnessed there. But I do want to say that every believer, at the moment they trust Christ as Savior, is baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. Every single one of you who have trusted Jesus, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. The word baptized means immersed. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, a lot of people, they look for and wonder about, based on the first four verses of this, thinking there ought to be some kind of Shazam that takes place, right? Some kind of an emotion. Sometimes it is emotional. You come to Jesus and you realize that you are a sinner and that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. He did that for you. And it's like, oh my. And I mean, it's like the burden is lifted at the cross, right? And you've experienced that. And sometimes it can be very emotional. I've seen people pray and trust Christ as Savior, and they'll say, "In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." And they open their eyes and say, "Okay, now what?" It's like, you know, there's very little emotion involved. So I just want to encourage you that if you have sincerely repented and come to Jesus in salvation and faith, believing that he died and was buried and rose again, and you've placed your faith and trust in him, that he, the Holy Spirit of that moment, indwells you. He baptizes you. OK? okay? You are baptized, immersed in him. As a result, you are indwelt. All right? The baptism takes place once. The indwelling is perpetual. Be encouraged that if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit at that moment, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. I'll tell you what, that ought to do something for you. And I'm here to say it's not a feeling. It's a fact that you believe by faith, all right? And this is where some confusion comes in, because some teach that, oh, you have to have this some kind of a feeling or something else has to happen. But thank you again, Pastor Nate, for pointing us to the Word. And the Word says that this is just truth, that you believe by faith. And I just want to encourage you with this truth here this morning. If you've trusted Jesus as Savior, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you. And that should do something for you. You know, yeah, it may give you good feelings because you have understood by faith that it is true, it is a fact. And you live on the basis of that truth, on that fact. Don't live on a feeling, because feelings are up and down, right? A lot of people they get so confused about this, thinking, oh no, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. And they, maybe I've lost my salvation or whatever it might be. I just want to encourage you. No, it's a fact. And what you have to do is you have to come back when you have those kinds of thoughts and say, nope, I believe, I know that I trusted Christ. And at that moment, based on Acts chapter 2 here and other passages, that I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. And I am living by the Spirit. Thank you, God. Bring your thinking back to your faith and what the Word of God says about that. So that's the indwelling, that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. But then there's the filling of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, which is an excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. What's he talking about? He's talking about control. If you're drunk, you're controlled by alcohol, right? It controls you. So the filling of the Spirit is the idea of control. How do you know if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit? It's walking in obedience. To the extent that you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, to that extent you're filled with the Spirit. If you're not walking in the obedience to the Word of God, you're not filled. You not saying you've lost the Spirit, you just filled, controlled by. Right, so those are three important things that you need to understand. Baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at the moment of salvation, and as a result, I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And yet, the filling is a daily, moment-by-moment thing. I'll be honest. I like to stay confessed up. So when I get up and get going in the morning and I have my time with the Lord, I'm like, God, examine my heart. And if there's any wicked way in me, and I confess those sins before you, and I repent, and I ask for your help, and then I literally say, fill me with your Spirit. And it shouldn't be just a once a day kind of thing. It happens throughout the day. God, strengthen me, enable me, fill me with your Spirit, so that I might walk in obedience to your Word. I just encourage you with that practice. So as we look at this this whole matter of the ministry then of the Holy Spirit, again, I think it has tremendous implications for us in that it enables you, the Holy Spirit of God enables you to bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. Very interesting, as I was studying for this message, going through Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 does not talk very much about the Spirit so as much as it talks about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is given so as to exalt Jesus. And he talked about that, and I hope you heard that, that that he look at verse 36 in Acts chapter 2. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Yes, the Holy Spirit is important. The role of the Holy Spirit is significant in the life of every one of us. But he's given so as to exalt Jesus. Again, I just remind you, turn back to John chapter 16 passage. I'm not going to re-preach Pastor Nate's message. He did a good job with that. But let's look at John chapter 16 and get my... If you have YouVersion, you're probably already there. Look at verse 13. John 16, verses 13 to 15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Mentioned that just a little bit ago. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whoever he hears, whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. Who's talking? Jesus. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit of God is given so as to exalt Jesus. God is glorified in Jesus. Isn't it interesting in this passage, Jesus says, I will send another comforter to you. Wouldn't it have been awesome, we think, to have Jesus right there? And when you think about the disciples and they're going through a tough time, difficult time, they go to Jesus, talk to Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm going to leave you for a while, but I'm sending you another comforter. The Holy Spirit is called the one who is called alongside to help. And he helps us as Jesus would. And part of that is he points us to Jesus and what he did by dying on the cross. Someone wrote a book called Cross-Centered Living. It's living in light of the gospel. And when you go through the difficulties of life, remind yourself of the gospel and what Jesus did for you. And I think the Holy Spirit of God helps us in that, because what he does is he exalts Jesus. So as we think of that background, the coming of the Holy Spirit and upon the church and dwells the church. And by the way, as I was on vacation and I was thinking about even coming back and preaching this message, I was preaching like no preacher's ever preached before. And I was going up the aisle here and I was going up the aisle there and I was on fire. And one of the things I said in this dream that I had was right here with you here and us together is a manifestation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty cool. I woke up and thought, man, I can't forget to bring that thought out when I preach this message. Because the fact that we are together as a church, meeting together, is a manifestation of the reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? It's exciting. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit in not just the life of the believer, but in the church. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. Now, a couple things you need to remember about the book of 1 Corinthians. And one reason why it's really important to remember this is because we come to chapter 12. And if you understand this, it helps you understand chapters 12, 13, and 14, which talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here it is. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. 1 Corinthians is a book of correction. I'm so blessed that you remember that, because we studied the book of 1 Corinthians a lot of years ago. But if you understand that 1 Corinthians is a book of correction, and you remember it because I said it so very often, didn't I? If you remember this, it helps you understand 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a book of correction because they have a lot of questions. In fact, if you go back to chapter 7 and verse 1, it says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote." The Corinthian believers had questions, they had concerns, they had things going on in the church. They weren't getting along in the church. They had questions about, what about people who are in the church who are sinning? They needed some correction on that. They were welcoming sinners. You're like, you know, hey, yeah, we got this guy in the church who does really bad things, but he's, you know, he's still in the church. Whether we should take people to court or not. They had confusion about communion. They needed some direction on this. And they had questions about gifts. So look at chapter 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Again, exalting Jesus. How does that happen? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 is the test of a legitimate gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get into this in just a few minutes. But what determines the legitimacy of the gift? One test is in verse 3, whether it brings glory to God. If it's a gift that exalts the individual, or where we may exalt an individual, you can't look at it as a spiritual gift, because a true spiritual gift brings glory to God, to the Lord Jesus. So that's a test. But there was confusion. And so in all of this, I want you to understand that spiritual gifts are given to us to benefit the body, the church. Spiritual gifts are given to benefit the body, the church. That's a clarification that Paul is making here. Look at verse 4. "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." He's starting to talk here about the church. "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." The Holy Spirit enables you to accomplish ministry effectively through gifting. The Holy Spirit enables you to accomplish ministry effectively by the one and the same Spirit as each one does its work. You are gifted to serve. There aren't people who are more spiritual than others in the matter of gifting. In fact, part of this. If you look down at verse 13 here, it says, "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." Who's he talking to? Talking to the Corinthian believers. Who were the Corinthian believers? Well, if you go back to chapter 3, he says, I couldn't talk to you as mature, but as babies, as immature individuals. They were saying things like, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter. Others were saying, well, I follow Jesus, you know. And they were acting like immature children, and yet, as here, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Every last one of us have the Holy Spirit of God in us. And he's encouraging a maturity on your behalf and mine, and the behalf of the Corinthians. And so we see that the Holy Spirit does this by enabling us to accomplish ministry effectively. How? Through the gifts. And as each of you do your part, you accomplish the work of the ministry as you're gifted by the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody has every believer has a gift. Every last one of you. I want to encourage you with that. Wow, I have the Holy Spirit of God in me, indwelling me. Wow, I have the Holy Spirit of God in me, indwelling me, giving me a gift. Every one of you who have trusted Christ as Savior, you have a gift. Now, again, if you know me, I'm not real big on spiritual gift tests. You can take them. You can find them online, and we could probably find one for you. Ask Pastor Nate. He'll find it for you. The fact of the matter is we all have a gift. You are gifted in some way. I'm going to look at this just a little further in a moment. But in that, what I say is you are gifted to serve. So how do you discover your gift? I think the most effective way to discover your gift is serve. Just start serving the body. And you're going to find out whether you're gifted or not. Some of you, Vacation Bible School, Nikki said, you know, we need people to help. Where would you like to help? Well, and if you set up and clean up, and you're like, oh man, that's great. It just really pumped your tires. You're like, man, I just let's get her done, you know. And you just like serving in that tangible, physical way. And maybe she said, you know, we need somebody to teach the junior boys or whatever. And he's like, well, I'll give it a shot, you know. And you blah, 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 you know, and you find out, I'm not really gifted in that particular area. But man, you got the likes of Aaron Burning, and he's like, man, he's up here and he's animated and he teaches those kids and it's just awesome. He is definitely gifted in the matter of teaching, especially in teaching kids, right? You take advantage of those. Some of you have said, hey, I'll give it a shot. I'll try to teach adults. And it turned out, you know, it's not my area of giftedness. I'm just not good at it. But I just love to serve. I have one particular individual just told me that. I just love to serve. Very gifted in serving, helping other people. And I think we could spend a lot more time talking about that. But I think the way you find these things out is by just jumping in, getting involved, and it will become evident as to where you are gifted by the Holy Spirit in some of these areas. But I think looking at the overall context here, the Holy Spirit enables you to accomplish ministry effectively. But we also see then in verses 12 down through 26 that the Holy Spirit provides for unity. One of the things I like to say in regards to the ministry of the Holy Spirit is it's together or not at all. There are some people who will not even get involved in a church because they're immature. And so they're like an index finger that's really, really big. You know, can you imagine that an index finger is really big? What does the index finger do? Points, right? You're not near as spiritual as I am. And they become a big, huge index finger pointing out all the wrongs that everybody else is doing. No. If that would be the case, then what we want to do is do exactly what we're talking about, discipleship, right? We want to bring one another along. Not to make everybody like us, but to point others to Jesus, right? So it's to gather or not at all. And we could elaborate on that illustration. And he does. Look at, continuing at verse 12. For just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. And he goes on giving these contrasts and discussions about the eyes and the hands and the feet and so on. And he said in verse 24, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And he goes on and talks about other gifts. And I just want to emphasize here that the Holy Spirit provides for unity in the church. No one is greater than another. No one is less than somebody else. How do we know this? The same source. Who's the source? God, the Holy Spirit of God. We have the same purpose, to glorify God. The purpose of the gifts isn't to make us, you know, just, we're just so very important. No. It's to bring glory to God and to be an encouragement and a blessing to one another. It's not about us. Which again emphasizes the importance of you being involved in the work of the ministry as the Holy Spirit has enabled you. Use your giftedness, to accomplish the work of the ministry. And by that, there should be no boasting. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, what do you have? What do you have that has not been given to you? Excuse me, just a second. Well, what do you have that has not been given to you? And one of the things he's talking about there is our gifts. It applies to a lot of things. So it's not about you. It's not about me. It's what are you doing with what God has entrusted to you to minister to the body, to one another. So, in light of that, there's no boasting. There's no coveting. Oh, I wish I could do it like them. You know what? If you're not gifted, you can still learn from the person who's gifted. Maybe your gift is not teaching. You can still learn some principles on how to teach and teach effectively. That doesn't mean you never teach. That would mean that, oh, that person has the gift of giving. I can't give because I don't have that gift. No, we can learn from people who are gifted in those areas. But it also means that we don't put others down. We don't even put ourselves down. Oh, I just can't do it, you know. Self-deprecating. No. What we do is understand that the Holy Spirit has gifted us for the purpose of bringing glory to God, to, as a result of that, or to provide for unity in the church and thereby bring glory to God. I trust that this passage encourages you to understand the work of the ministry in the church and to accept by faith what he has for us as far as giftedness. Now, next week, I want to talk about the questions of the sign gifts. What's that all about? I get a little bit more into my testimony related to that. But let's ask for God's help to encourage our hearts to be all that we are in Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit who lives within us. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time together to teach us, to encourage us, and to help us to build our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to strengthen us, to enable us to that end and to your glory. Father, I pray that this would encourage each one to use their gifts to exalt you, to serve the body, and to provide for unity in the church, again, to your glory. Help us, I pray. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if I can be of help and encouragement to you in this way, or in your walk with God, your relationship with Jesus, your personal salvation, don't hesitate to come and talk with me after the service. And we thank you for all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.